Welcome to The Dolan Diaries, a show for creators of all stripes to think deeply about their art and its place in culture. My goal with this show is to encourage you to gain clarity, movement, alignment, and focus. You are a leader, whether you know it or not. Will you claim your voice and speak truth? Let's crush fear, stop complaining, stop comparing, drop the excuses, and take this creative life seriously. I'm your host, Jeff Dolan, and this is episode entitled Simple Success Swinging Singles. In this episode, I want to check in with an entrepreneur friend of mine and compare notes on what he is learning about being vulnerable, personal branding, story, traveling, and hiring good people. The one and only, Jake Jorgovin, a writer, podcaster, and location-independent entrepreneur. I catch up with him in France, and he delivers knowledge bombs that could change your very approach to business. All show notes will be at jeffdolan.com, where you can also subscribe to the written version of this show. Jake, what's up, buddy? Can you hear me?
Cool.
So where are you right now?
I am in the south of France at the moment. So we're we're over near Montpellier, France today. So
that's awesome. So you've been traveling for a while now, right?
We've been like, I guess 4.5 years ago, left and started traveling, took a year off in Denver, about a year off in New Hampshire. So, we've done a few years of a place, but yeah, we pretty much haven't had a real home for a long time. So yeah.
And the last time I talked to you, we were in Nashville, and
yeah, it's been a long time.
I mean, it's been a long time, but I've been following you and your blog and now your podcast and all your business adventures, and it's been just super cool to watch your journey. So I kind of wanted to go back because there was a period of time where I lost track of you.
Yep. Yeah. So it was Rabbit Hole Creative was the first business that I had, ran that for quite a bit of time. And then, had a whole stint of other random things for quite a while. Yeah, eventually got back around to Lead Cookie, but there was a bunch of stuff in between there. So
when we were talking about that in Nashville, you were talking about how, you know, there was like this burden of leadership that was new to you. And you had that weight of pressure that you had all of this responsibility and employees and all this money coming in. And tell me a little bit about that, because I know that was a transition for you.
Yeah, it was a weird thing, because like, you know, I started the business when I was in school and just, you know, started off like I just was producing audio, and then I partnered up with this guy and we became a video company. And you go from one point doing the work to hiring and getting a lot of support of people to help you do all the work. And there's just a lot of stuff you don't know along the way, a lot of things you screw up, a lot of things you don't know about actually what it means to be a good leader. So many things along the way. And I think there's this huge blip between Rabbit Hole and where I am now. And it's just literally like years of screwing stuff up.
I'm picking up on that. But you got to do it though, right? I mean, there's no way you could have just studied entrepreneurship and then gone out and made the perfect company, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you've got to just fail at a bunch of stuff. And I think that's like the only way to get to this point of doing it. And like just try to do your best to improve every day over time and whatnot. So it's been a long road here.
But you exited that business, right? The first one, you sold your part in it and kind of got all the way out of it.
I'd say I sold it, but really I like got out of my debt that we had racked up. So it sounds all great to sell. I probably like in my pride and ego of my youth made it look cooler and bigger than it was. But like, I really was just like, I got out of debt. Like basically like we had racked up some debt for loans for different equipment and things. And I basically broke even on that. Like ultimately, like the business wasn't, you know, this large sustainable thing. You know, I might have been able to get some more if I look back in retrospect, but like for me, it was like, you know, it's very easy to build yourself into a trap with your business. And I fortunately got out of it. So wow. Like that's like the point where I got to. I mean, it was not like it was terrible. We could have turned it around. Like, you know, it wasn't like a bad spot, but like it was business partner issues and ultimately like being in a spot where we had debt and like just really big like differences with my partner was like a big part that like ultimately led to it, and actually me being an egotistic asshole. So those all kind of like led to it splitting up eventually. So.
Wow. Yeah, we'll definitely want to talk about partner issues. But I think the interesting thing, and just so listeners know what business you were in, you know, we obviously were in Nashville. There's a lot of musicians, a lot of music. You were doing the video backdrops, like the video interactive piece of these performances, correct?
Yeah. So if you think about going out to a concert or corporate event and they have all these like LED walls and projection screens or stuff like that on stage, we would basically create all the content that went on those walls. So that was like our business and what we were doing. And we had designed like CeeLo Green Store and Dolly Parton's. And then we eventually got to doing like a bunch of really big corporate clients like Fidelity Investments and Hyundai and like all these really big name customers. So we had like, we were doing pretty well with stuff. Like we had really big name clients and, you know,
right. Sort of,
that was at was actually like a decent sized business. So we definitely did have some like, you know, deep, good success with it.
So how did you go from being a student to then getting into that business? Because that seems to me like it would be a kind of hard to get into type of business.
Yeah. So literally started it when I was 19, still in school. And wow. So like literally like I was just like in school while we had this going, and I met my business partner in college, and it evolved into that. Like we started off doing audio engineering and like recording concerts. Like we literally funded the company by doing filming senior recitals for music majors. Like that was like
that's awesome.
This is like my first introduction to like cold outreach, and like
yes.
Probably actually the most scalable thing we had is we just like hired a bunch of students. We'd pay them like $25 to come out. We even like didn't even have our own cameras at the start. We would like hire students who had cameras and were trying to do video. And we would literally awesome. Just like all come out and we'd film a senior recital, and then we'd edit it and put it all together. And it was just like that. Like I would literally just email all the music majors every semester. And like, that's how we got started. And then it like just over the time, like we got into animation. We went from filming concerts to getting the opportunity to do graphics on stages. And then like just one really good like mentor and connection got us really propelled into that space. And that's where we really just like found our niche and took off, where there wasn't many other people competing at that point in time. So.
And I think that's a really good point. So when you first start off with a business, you think, you know, before you do it, it's like, oh, I'm going to have this grand master plan vision, and I'm going to go execute the vision, and then I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to do this. And it's really, in reality, not like that. You kind of go in a direction. You get that movement in alignment in one direction. And you start going in that direction, and then you start seeing like, okay, I'm going to adjust a little bit, do this. And then when you're there, you see other opportunities, and you get into those other opportunities. And that's kind of what it sounded like you did.
Yeah, exactly. And that's like, to an extent, still the same thing I'm doing. You just like kind of pick an area or like right. a realm you want to focus your energy in. And you just like start going toward that and like selling stuff in there, and then just looking for other opportunities and pain points and like solving those. But even now, it's like I did that for years in the live event video space, basically. And now I do that in the like outbound and like lead generation space. And so it's just like pick the area you're going to play in, and then you just go get really good in that area, and you just keep figuring out how to offer new things to those existing customers in that space.
Right. So it's more about choosing who you're going to serve first, and then figuring out what you can bring value to help them, right, in that area, rather than trying to find a product and trying to find somebody to buy it.
Yeah, I would say so. Like, I don't think I knew that retrospectively. And, and I think even now it's like, if I look at it now, like, or when I was like doing the video in retrospect at Rabbit Hole, like I didn't really know what I was doing. I was just kind of winging it. But now like what I've done over the past several years is like, I realized like, okay, I was really good at agency, like owners. Like I was good as an agency owner. My partner was the one who like did all the work. I'm the one who like sold all the work. So basically for years, like my evolution between there was like screw up for a bunch of years. And then like I started consulting for other agencies on sales and business development. And then like that kind of led to like, hey, like LinkedIn outreach is like could become like a product that I create, which was really just like narrowing down my consulting into this actual scalable thing that I built a business around. So it's all like, yeah, you pick a realm and like just start going down that and get really good at it. And eventually you like can just see more opportunities there as you become an expert in a space.
Right. And it, and were you subconsciously like chasing your passion? In other words, like you just knew you liked video and you were doing video and you knew that kind of was like the forest you wanted to go find your tree in. Was it more like that, or was it more like, hey, these are the skills that I have, I'm going to try to go make money? Or maybe it was a combination of all of those different things, like passion, experience, value, skills. Did you think about it like that at all?
Yeah. So one thing that I remember like distinctly knowing at that age was like that my passion in life was like media creation, and the fact that as one person I could create a message that impacted hundreds or thousands of millions of people, like that was really exciting to me. And so like I started off in audio, and like video was just like this next step. And even today, like even though like I got out of the video industry, like there's a lot of things that's really hard about that space. Even today, like I'm blogging and I'm writing and I'm putting out content and stuff. And so like this underlying passion that connects it all, you know, my business is no longer as much about like, you know, trying to create this one media, but like I'm doing that through blogging. So it's understanding that one aspect of myself and what really drove me, definitely has been a driver and something that I even lost sight of at times. And I eventually have come back around to, and I just like, you know, it was true when I was 19 and it's still true today. So
that's so cool how you can draw that theme. I think that's why I'm so drawn to you as well, because I share a similar passion. And, you know, whatever outlet you can find, whether it is through podcasting or writing. I mean, you're a prolific writer. I mean, you post almost every day, if not multiple times a day. And it is inspiring to see that, the level of output, because it is hard to do.
Yeah. And the thing is like I knew that is what I love to do and what I'm driven toward. Not every person's going to want that. Like not every person has that desire to like write every day. But like for me, I love creating media and I love putting stuff out there. But there was still like years that I didn't do that despite it being my passion. And it's kind of getting over that hump and getting over those obstacles and getting like systematic in your life and your business is literally like the path to success. Like that sounds really unsexy, but my life is way less chaos than it used to be. Like I used to always think like success in business came from making these like huge, big, bold moves. And I was always like trying to think and come up with like an idea that was going to be like the next huge thing, or like, what do I got to do? Like, I got to make a huge shift. And like, I just show every day and I like do the work and I write stuff every day and I just like build momentum and I stay focused on what I'm doing. And like, as a result, everything is growing. Like, so it's like really, it's really like simple to just get systematic in how you operate is like one of the biggest shifts that I've had. And it's like, you don't have to be in chaos as an entrepreneur. It can be really simple and straightforward. So
if you're listening to this and you are identifying with the desert that Jake is talking about, where you're in chaos, you don't have any systems, you're floundering around with your passion on a shelf, you know that you're meant to do something more, but you're not quite sure how to do it or what the system to do it looks like, just know that it's okay to be where you are right now, because there's a lot of people like that. I have been there. I'm partially there. What you're saying, it resonates so much with me, because I just know that is a struggle for a lot of creators and a lot of artists that are, they're trying to get to a point where the chaos, you know, they can tame that chaos and kind of move in a direction. And I know a lot, I mean, you can share your struggle like in how you kind of got out of it. But I mean, there's a point where you have to decide on specifics and you can't stay general and you can't keep all your options open, right? Like you have to decide, like, I'm going to walk towards this group of trees. I'm gonna go walk in this direction. I can't just continuously leave my options open and therefore not really accomplish any one thing in depth and just be shallow at a bunch of stuff. I got to actually go deep and go and start walking. And so what I'm hearing, what you're saying is like, if you take baby steps towards that thing, instead of trying to do the home run shot where it's just like, bam, you know, I'm successful all of a sudden, then you'll find that you'll look up. And because you're in the present moment doing the things you're supposed to do and following your system and your processes, you'll look up and you'll be there. Whereas if you're just sitting there waiting and trying to take the big swings and wondering why it's not working, you know, that's why.
Yeah, there's a really good quote from or just like concept from Garrett J. White. He's like one of the like mentors or people that I follow, I guess, and I'm part of his program. And he's got this idea of just like simple success swinging singles, like just hit singles all day long. You just hit singles all day long. Every day you're going to win first. Most people go up there and they just try to hit home runs all day and they just keep swinging, like striking out. And then they like, you know, get down. And if you can just wake up every day, like literally like the writing stuff every day is not that hard or complicated. I just, every day I wake up and I write something and like, you just do that. And suddenly like, you know, you publish weekly on my blog and like everything just goes up and it's just like, don't have to be like crazy. Like I actually, like when I started really get back into publishing, I was like, oh yeah, I'm gonna go like 2 posts a week. And I was like, oh, this is not sustainable. Like I'm going way too fast. And I had to like slow down and just be like, all right, one thing a week, like one article a week, like a bunch of the small articles every week. And like, just like make it sustainable and longer term and just like go for singles and don't try to just do a home run all the time. So that simple concept is like a really big thing that I used to always just aim really huge in everything. And I never succeeded. I always like tried to shoot for the moon. And then instead you just aim for something simple and like that's actually accomplishable.
Right. There's a lot of folks that are coming out of corporate America like I did. And a lot of people that are kind of stuck with all the voices in their head of their mom or their dad or their family or their coworkers or their boss, right? And they don't want to appear vulnerable or without their pants, or they feel like they can't express themselves or what their true self is for fear of judgment or fear of losing their job or fear of rocking the boat or whatever, right? Even though they might want to do those things. What was the kind of catalyst for you? I mean, obviously you were young and you never, well, I don't say never, but you didn't necessarily have that kind of pressure on you. Right from an early age, you were already your own man, kind of doing your own thing. And I'm sure there were points where you're like, man, maybe I should just get a job. But you, like you said, you kind of wandered around the wilderness there until you kind of figured out and got your footing. Tell us a little bit about how you dealt with being vulnerable online, especially online to the world, about kind of what your struggles are. Because I know you've been doing that at least a lot more recently that I've caught on to. And it's very powerful. So not a lot of people have the courage to do that. So talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, it's something that like a big thing that I've found is ultimately like the, when people ask like how did you launch like this business so quickly, or like how did Lead Cookie grow so quickly, or we launched like a new service line last week and we closed like 14 customers in like the first 48 hours, and it's like people are like, how do you do that? And it's like, well, I've been building a personal brand for 5 years. Like that's like really what it comes down to, is I've like just been putting myself out there and blogging in some capacity for basically for the past 5 years. And even longer than that, I think my first one on my blog is like 2011. But I didn't really like actually start blogging until about 5 years ago. But basically like, I don't know, like I just discovered really early on, like if you just put yourself out there, people want to follow that and they're interested in your story and people like following other people's stories. Like it's just like people buy from people. They don't buy from companies. And especially like when you put yourself out there in this vulnerability, there's just something like where you, like, I just like, if anyone's like read my blogs, like I just am pretty candid about stuff. Like I just, you know, I share that I just had this great launch last week with our new service line. Well, before that, I had tried something for 3 months and totally failed at it, was losing money on every customer. And I had to shut it down and like basically get rid of the 14 customers we had signed because we were losing money on every one of them. And it was like this horrible, gut-wrenching thing. But like the thing is, you just like share that all and like you just put yourself out there and like it attracts people toward you. Like most people are lying like sacks of crap. Like it's just like, this is like the truth. Like most people, like, and especially like we met in Nashville and like love Nashville to an extent, but there's a lot of people who have this pride and they feel like they need to walk around and look like really like they got all their stuff together and they have things figured out. They're not struggling. And like, that's just all over. And that's this mentality that people have. But like everyone's struggling. Like no one is just like, I have all the steps figured out. Like no one does. And as soon as you just put yourself out there and you're like, I'm trying stuff, I'm going to share my journey. Like people are so attracted to that vulnerability because most people don't put it out there. Most people will never say it. They only post the good stuff or they just like won't post at all. And like, I've fallen into traps of this. There's period where I had to lay off 6 people about a year ago and I never wrote about it. Like I actually still like, even like a year ago, I wasn't as good at the vulnerability as I am now. But the more I do it, the more I realize like this is what people need to hear. Like I had 60, 70 responses to my email when I shut down my last company of people just being like, man, like, wow, like that's so powerful. Or like, thank you. Like this is what I needed to hear. Or, like I'm facing a similar thing. Like, just putting yourself out there in like an actual like vulnerable way, it draws people toward you. And it's just such a powerful thing in whatever it is you're doing. So don't be afraid to put that out there.
And it's counterintuitive too, right? Because people, I mean, at least I would think that if you're too vulnerable and you're sharing everything, then potential clients would feel like, well, he doesn't know how to run his business, so why would I hire him? Right? There's a kind of that thought in the back of your head where it's like, well, maybe I shouldn't share this because of the repercussions. But what you're saying is it actually attracts people. And if it repels somebody, then you probably shouldn't be doing business with them anyway, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I've repelled some people with my content. I've had many people like, so like the email where I shut down like my last company, like the first words of the email were failure. It f-ing sucks. And I put that out there and I don't normally like cuss in my emails. I don't cuss in my content like a ton, but like I literally wrote that email to like seal the deal in my own mind that I was shutting this company down. So it was like really emotional and like, that's wow. Like the state of mind that I was in. And wow. So like, I have people, like I have some guy that's like, that was repugnant and offensive. And like, that's what he like writes me. And I'm just like, cool, I'm going to unsubscribe you. And then like, I had another guy who literally like, I have this like weekly roundup I started called like This Week Without Pants. And some guy's like, I was considering your services, but with subject lines like this, I don't think I'll be working with someone of your maturity. And I'm just like, dude, get off my email list.
Yes.
Like, so it's you put yourself out there and it's going to turn people away, but like polarity is a good thing. Like you like if you try to please everybody, you please nobody. It's a weird thing. It's uncomfortable to start doing and like to see like unsubscribes or to see people like start to actually like ridicule you about it, but it's actually like you will see like for the rise of negative that comes from when you start putting yourself out there, you will see like a 10x rise in the positive from the people that it does resonate with.
Right. If you're trying to keep your options open and you're trying to please everyone, you're not going to go deep and you're not going to attract the real people that you should be helping.
Yeah.
You're being you and you're being very specifically you and unique in your own way. And you're doing business the way you want to do business, which is exactly how you want to live. And you're going to attract those people that want to do business with you. That's awesome. So you ended up getting married, right? After Nashville?
Yeah, I think around the time we met in Nashville, like I met my wife in Nashville. We went and traveled the world for like a year and a half or so whenever I started on the nomadic journey and eventually did get married. So yeah, we are currently married, but no kids.
Cool. So yeah, because I remember you went into freelancing and you kind of mastered that where you were on some of these platforms like Upwork, right? And you were doing that for a while and kind of finding your footing and building skills and learning and growing. And you were still documenting your process though back then, right?
Yeah. So like the high level journey is I had the agency. We did some really cool stuff. I left that to go do this startup with this like investor who was a healthcare startup. I got like 10 months into that and was like, why am I doing a healthcare startup? I don't even think, how did I end up here? It was like, I don't have any desire for this. So I left that, basically went off, started traveling and like just freelancing, figuring out whatever I could do to make a living. And eventually like realized the, cause I had like all these skills like video editing and graphic design and like web design and stuff from when I ran my agency. So I just started off kind of doing that for skills. And eventually I like grew into the idea of actually like consulting and being like, I was pretty good at sales. Like what if I just helped everyone else who is not good at sales? And that's kind of the evolution or that transition to where, how I got into the consulting, and then the consulting eventually led to Lead Cookie. So.
That's awesome. And then as far as the traveling thing, I know that's kind of a big shift and change as well, right? Like how did you go from, you know, I'm self-employed, I'm doing all these consulting gigs and now, you know, I'm married and I'm trying to figure out how to travel as well. Explain that a little bit. How did you get over the hump of becoming completely location independent?
Yeah, so it was basically that transition happened at the point of leaving the healthcare startup and going into the freelancing. I was just trying to figure out how to make it work. I was like selling some random projects. At that point, I was still doing a lot of like in-person networking events because that's how I knew how to get clients from when I had my agency. So I was like still doing that, picking up a few clients here and there. And then basically, I just bought tickets to Mexico for my then girlfriend, now wife, and myself, and was like, we're going to figure it out.
So you just ripped the Band-Aid off. You're just like, we're going to just do it. Like you sold your apartment or house or how did it go down?
Yeah, was basically sold the house, which I was like really young. So it was actually a house my parents had purchased and I was like renting from them. And so like worked with them, got that sold, got out of there, and we just flew to Mexico and basically just like took off and went down there. So it was like literally just dove into it.
Where in Mexico?
We went to Puerto Vallarta, which was way less expensive than it is now. Like our rent was like $330 a month back then. So it was like nothing. We were able to live super cheaply. You can't live there that cheap anymore, unfortunately. But there's other parts of Mexico you could. But like, yeah, we just went down there. And like the cool thing about Mexico as a place is it's super cheap. You're still in the same time zone. And it's fun. Ultimately, like a 5-hour flight and you're back in America if like something goes wrong. So that was like our first step to it. And it went great. So we just bought the ticket. And I guess, I mean, I'll admit it wasn't always great. We had some points where it was like, oh God, how are we getting money or like figuring things out along the way? But like, I just still was like blogging and documenting and just sharing all of it at the time. And the interesting thing is like, if you look at my articles back then, none of it's like how to build websites or like how to make videos. You know, it wasn't anything about what I was selling. It was just, here's my journey. I'm living in Mexico. Like that's like pretty much what I was writing about.
Wow.
But then I started writing, you know, like how I'm getting work and stuff like that. And it just like, I didn't really know what I was doing. I just did stuff and people listened. And like, I had people from my network start to hire me. And like, literally even then, like the personal brand was driving things. Like that year we were traveling, like the two biggest customers that I can think of were people that I knew in Nashville who read my blogs and then hired me to do like web design and marketing for them. Like that's like literally how it came. And that probably funded like a quarter of our year abroad. So.
Wow. That really gets back to your why. If you look at the biggest brands, people buy Apple because of why Apple does what they do rather than what they do, right? It's like the Simon Sinek start with why concept. Like you had a different why that had nothing really to do with web design necessarily. And people were hiring you because of why you did what you did and what you were all about rather than hey, you're really good at this web design thing. Not to say that you weren't, but that's not why people were attracted to you and doing business with you, right?
Yeah, and it's an interesting thing that I realized, like, even more nowadays, like, yeah, like, it definitely, like, people were attracted to it for any number of reasons and hired, but even now, like, I have people that just reach out that love the content that I'm putting out and like want to figure out a way to like work with me and our, and like my companies, even if like they're not working with through me directly, like they're just, because they like follow the stuff I put out, they're like excited to like work with our services. And sometimes I have to like turn people away that like aren't a fit. And it's just like, like, you know, cause like we're kind of like picky on who we work with, but like, it's just an interesting thing to realize like that just putting yourself out there as a person, like, and putting your own personal brand out there, it is such, it's just like cheating for business. I swear. I don't know how people build businesses without it. So,
right. So let's talk about like hiring people. When you go to that level of, okay, I'm a personal brand, I am going to tell my story, document my journey, you're attracting the right people, you have a good why, you're moving towards what you want. And then you tap out on your time. You're like, uh-oh, there's only so many hours in a day. You know, I got to be a good husband. I got to, you know, take care of myself. I've got to sleep. How did you make the transition from that to like peeking out on your time and realizing like I have to create systems and get people involved? And how did you make that transition?
Yeah. So first started by just like hiring freelancers and contractors and stuff, which is a good place to start. And I think where most people start. It got kind of frustrating after a while. They'll flake on you or they're not reliable or stuff. And eventually I made the commitment and basically hired a guy who is now my COO. And so Jeff, who's been with me for, I guess about 4 years now, he like came on board whenever I was just like consulting and I was like trying to scale up and stuff. And I tried so many things amidst the consulting to scale up that didn't work. But basically, eventually, like I hired this guy who is basically an ops director. And so for me as an entrepreneur, I'm like a creative person. I like to go. I like to build things. I like to write. If you have anything repetitive, like I will fail at it. Like I will, I can't, like it's ridiculous. Like the thing, the tasks that we send to our team in the Philippines, like I can't do them. Jeff had to pull me off of those because like it was just like the simple thing of like send the connection requests and like personalize the first name. Like I can't do it. Like I will screw up the first names and I will like mess up the copy and paste and I would like make like 5 errors a day. And Jeff was like, you're making us look bad. And like, so like I just started, basically I hired him to just like take all of the kind of work I had. So this guy who's like polar opposite of me, operations system minded. I hired him initially and then just like had him work alongside me just to like figure out whatever like I'm doing. And I just like sell things and like throw tasks at him and have him support me however he could. And he just went along for the ride. And over time, he's basically become a COO now.
Wow.
But he went through like 2.5 years of like me just throwing crap at him and like doing like just taking whatever came to like help me deliver on whatever it is I sold. Cause I would sell like all these custom consulting campaigns for a long time. We were doing like outbound campaigns, like all these different things. And he would just help me deliver. And then eventually whenever like I matured in business, I realized how to build something scalable. I basically just coached and built him into the now COO of this company where he literally just runs everything. We've got a team of 25 people under him and he manages most of everything. And I just sell all day. So.
And that's with Lead Cookie.
Yep. Correct.
So when you hired him, did you save up salary for a year or like, how did you, what was the arrangement when you first hired him?
Oh, of course not. I was winging it. I was really, really bad at financial management stuff for many years of my entrepreneurial journey. Tip for anyone who doesn't have good financial management, the book Profit First changed my life and saved me after those 6 layoffs.
Wow. Yeah. Good call out.
Yeah. And I probably at the time of hiring him, like sold a handful of customers. I think I had like, I don't know, some enough like retainers at the time where I thought I was like stable. And I didn't know that, you know, half those retainers would later fire me or something. But like, you know, I was stable enough at a time where I was able to make the commitment to them. And then like once you like hire someone, like when your back's up against the wall, like you're going to figure it out. And so like you hire him, you bring him on, like I'm going to figure out how to pay his salary. Like, you know, at times like I meant I didn't get paid because I had made this commitment to him and he quit his job for it. But like I stepped up and just always figured out a way to make it work. And like, it just became the constraint of, I knew that I had to like, you know, produce X amount just to make sure to cover that. And over time that just kind of, we didn't really hire anyone else full time outside of contractors until Lead Cookie. So it was really just me and him until we finally had something scalable again.
I think that's kind of a common path that I've seen where when you make that transition to hire somebody and they do make that big step of like, all right, I'm quitting my corporate job or my other job and I'm going to work full time for you, that first hire takes a lot of energy to focus on how to manage and how to do the relationship, right? Where it's not just this easy thing where it's like, all right, I hired somebody. Now let me hire another person. Let me hire five more people. Let me hire, right? Because you got to figure out what your process and systems are, right? Before you can start scaling.
Yeah. And then the thing is like, when we made that hire, I didn't have processes and systems. I just like, I had no idea what I was doing. I didn't have actual like a product that I could sell. Like I was just selling custom every time. So there weren't really many systems. And so it was just like basically like a body to help me fulfill stuff for a while.
Do you recommend doing that though? Like hiring one person if you can afford it full time and then just going from there? Or do you recommend kind of contractors until you figure out what your systems and processes are?
I think like contractors are a good place to start when you're early, because like it's a commitment to hire someone full time, especially if they're going to quit a job they have to work with you. Like you've got to be committed. Like even it's a, like you're stepping up and like you got to produce to pay their salary. But like I do, like Russ Perry is one I follow and he like has this philosophy. Like it's like you just hire someone, you're going to figure out how to make it work. So like even on like the Nurture offer and like this Content Allies, which I shut down, this business I worked on for 3 months and shut down, I hired someone full time for that actually like 2 weeks before I shut it down. Cause I was
wow.
And it, but it, like the interesting thing, like the mental like spot in my head where I'm hiring that is not like, is this going to work out? It's like something's going to work out. Like I'm going to build a business. Like it's right. I'm going to make this work. And like, even though that the concept that I had didn't work, like I'm like, well, I'm still committed to building something here. And like, this is the person who I know is going to be great for, to help me fulfill this. So like, I just hired this person and she's now like our lead content strategist on the content side of things. And I'm just like, I just hired her and I was like, I'm going to figure out a way to make it work. And now within like a month of her being hired, we've 19 customers on Lead Cookie Nurture, and it's like her salary, we've already broke even and we're making a profit on it. Like, and it's just wow. Like you, when you hire someone, it's like, it puts you in a spot where like, you're going to have to figure it out. Like, don't be naive. Like, don't be like stupid and drive yourself in the hole. But like, to me, like it creates this pressure to figure things out, which I think helps you excel. So, or it helped me excel.
It's pretty interesting because the way you describe it, it from the outside looking in, it always looks like, you know, whoa, I'm the boss. I'm going to hire all these people to work for me. But in reality, it's the opposite. You're serving them. Even though you're the leader, you're serving them to make sure their salary and their, you know, needs are met and they're taken care of and they're ramped up. And so it's really a very servant type of job as a leader to make sure that your people are well taken care of.
Definitely. I mean, it's something where like I look at it as like, I'm grateful that they're all working with me. And I invest in my team. Like one of the biggest, I think, mistakes and like things that I've only even learned over the last year is that like, you don't hire great people. You build them into great people. Like my ops guy, he's running operations for like literally managing like 23 people. We're sending over 200,000 LinkedIn messages every month, and he's built the systems to handle and manage all of that.
Wow.
Like before working with me, he was like an events manager at the Better Business Bureau.
They have events?
Yeah. It's, yeah, no one goes to them. It was a horrible, horrible like situation to work in. Ironically, the Better Business Bureau, and they was like, they were working him like a dog. We like grew him into that and like trained him and invested in him. And I meet with him every week, and I've met with him every week for like 4 years now. And those are not just like checking in on projects. It's like coaching and leadership and like, let me teach you what I'm learning, and like, hey, you're struggling with this thing. Well, like, here's how I handle that stuff. And as I'm building up this content strategist, it's the same thing. And like these other team members, to where like you invest in your people and you build great leaders on your team. You don't just go hire a great COO. You like find someone who's got the attributes and fits your culture, and you turn them into a great COO.
I love that. That's awesome. Yeah. So that whole, content allies, experience, I thought it was pretty interesting. I was watching your Facebook Live, and you were explaining to one of your mentors the thinking behind why you were looking to create Content Allies, and the reasons for, you know, Lead Cookie not really being sustainable, and how you wanted to kind of make that transition now while everything was going well. And I think that was really smart. But how did you actually arrive at your business offer and your idea for the company with enough confidence to hire somebody and go all in on it?
Yeah. So the, like when we started what was like Content Allies, like literally had another name before that. And like, it was just like this 3 month epic fail. but like, I was like, first I was just like, we had a woman who was like part-time with us, and I started just like utilizing her and putting a lot more hours in. And then like we hit a point where I was like, I'm going to scale this up. I'm going. And like, I just hired her full time. I just like made the hire to like commit it to myself, but we actually like were really struggling, and we were unprofitable. We were losing money because I had hired her full time. And the model I had built Content Allies for, which like for anyone listening, like Content Allies, like the basically like the general idea was like, hey, we're going to give you virtual assistants that help automate your content processes, like your blog publishing, sharing stuff out to social media. Like we're just going to streamline all those processes. Turns out that that's like way more complex when you're dealing with like different tools and different website platforms and different social media scheduling tools every time. It was just like so much chaos that we couldn't deliver it affordably and cost-effectively. So basically, like with this woman I hired, we were losing money every single time. But again, I knew that Lead Cookie as it exists today had a lifespan, and like I'm like committed to building something else. Like I'm just like, I've got this team of 25 people, and our business has this like fatal flaw in it, in the fact that we're like a mass outreach approach on LinkedIn. And so I tried something for a few months, totally failed, but like that doesn't mean that business failed, but like that doesn't mean that I'm done. Like that doesn't mean I feel like I'm not going to give up. Like I'm just going to keep going until I figure out the next thing. And that's where like a lot of people like will get down, but it's just like, no, like, you know, you're committed to the outcome. Like you're not committed to like the process. Like you could get the process or the steps wrong, but like I'm committed to building a new revenue stream that's going to generate $50,000 a monthly recurring revenue, because that's what I need to sustain my team and keep the team that I've built and that I love. Well, like I'm going to figure that out one way or another. And I just happened to get it wrong the first time. And so like I shut it down. Literally within like a week, I've launched something new. Within a few weeks, we've like ramped up our first like 19 customers on it. So like, it's like just being committed to the outcome, and like no matter what the obstacles hit in the way.
No, that's so awesome. And so you did actually pivot that business.
Yeah. So basically, we shut down Content Allies as it existed, and we ended up creating what I'm actually just calling now like Lead Cookie Nurture. And so basically like a different service line of Lead Cookie is what I've ended up deciding to do instead. And basically it's what we're doing is creating, you know, like regular, consistent and quality content for people's LinkedIn profiles. So 3 to 5 days a week, we post on people's LinkedIn profiles to help nurture their audience, drive people to email subscribers, drive people toward them as leads or to appear as a thought leader. But basically, we are just creating regular content for people's LinkedIn profiles. And that's what our new offering is. That's kind of ramped up very quickly. And then I've got some more thoughts on other offerings in the future, but that's what we ended up putting together. And that is much quicker, easier to deliver, and so far has been really powerful and definitely ramped up much quicker. Like literally within like 2 weeks, I think we had driven more revenue with that than we had in the 3 months of attempting Content Allies.
Wow. Yeah. And again, you're focusing, right? You basically went from, we'll write all of your social media for all your platforms on all the different channels in all the different formats, right? To like, nope, we're going to stick to our platform of choice, LinkedIn. We're going to just write content 3 times a week. Like you're narrowing and focusing your offer. And that really is what helped you grow, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's one of the things that hindsight was like, oh, like that's pretty obvious. Like we already run a LinkedIn service. Like why don't we just do content as well for people's profiles? Like it's just so obvious in retrospect. But it was like, oh, it takes a 3 month failure to get to that. Like so
did you have clients suggest that to you? Like how did you come up with that pivot?
It's something that we've had a lot of people ask, like, oh, what should I do for content? And like I just looked at most of our customers weren't doing it. And as actually I got into like the daily blogging and I like, so I do like the regular blogging and then I would start to do like the daily like posts on LinkedIn, which is actually where my daily content started. And I was just like, wow, like this is generating some like business. Like I'm just sharing life lessons that I'm learning. Like my whole LinkedIn process is I learn something every day and then I rewrite it and teach it out as a way to practice writing every day and teach what I learned and reinforce it to myself. And so I've been doing that for like 4 or 5 months or so. And what I saw whenever I started to post regularly on LinkedIn, even though it had nothing to do with my actual business, I'm never talking about LinkedIn lead generation or anything. I'm just talking about life and things I'm learning. I started to see like more referrals come in. I started to see leads coming through to our website saying, hey, I follow your updates on LinkedIn. And then I started to see just like literally people who I had had sales calls with who didn't buy, who literally were nurtured by that and then came around and bought. Like literally the fact that we're actually doing this podcast interview is probably because like you have seen my LinkedIn content, or I guess you're also in my email newsletter as well.
100%. 100%. Yeah, like, that's right. Yep.
Exactly. So it's like that kind of stuff. It like nurtures and puts you out there and like creates opportunities. So I was like, well, why this is working for me? Why don't we create a service that does this for other people? So that's where the kind of concept came for it.
Makes sense. Totally. So, you know, the strategy you're saying about building your personal brand is not just putting out your stories and taking your selfies and, hey, we're in Mexico. Hey, you know, look at us and we're great. Look at our Lambos or whatever. It's you actually have, and I want you to walk us through the practicality of, you actually have a website that has a way or a funnel that people can go to actually capture that interest and follow up with them and get them into your business, right? Talk a little bit about what your process of capturing a lead that is following you on all your channels that wants to learn more about you. How do they go from like, man, I really like listening to Jake or reading his blogs. How do you go from that to actually being a client? Walk us through that.
Yeah. It's like, honestly, it's just like, it's totally just this evolution over the years. It's not this perfect science. The general way that I always look at this is like my social media channels, stuff like that is there to drive attention and ultimately drive people toward my website. Website is optimized to capture people's emails, to hook them into interest and to like get their ongoing attention. My email autoresponder is overdue for an update. It's still good, but it is totally pitching a very old offer that I have. But literally like right now, like I just create content and people tend to gravitate toward it. Or I'll mention lead cookie and stuff like that in my blog posts. I'm not like blatantly pitching it, but I'm just like, you know, hey, this is what our sales process looks like at lead cookie. And I'll get like leads from that just cause I'm like teaching our process.
It's part of your story. It's more organic.
Yeah, exactly. So like, I'm never like, you know, like at the end, like it's not like a blatantly all over my site pitching, but my site drives tons of leads. So it's
when you say it drives leads, though, what you mean is somebody subscribes to your newsletter, your email, your blog, they get some kind of regular writing posts from you, but mixed into that is naturally mentioning your business. And then when they click that link, they go to your business website where they fill out what, an interest form or
Yep. Yeah, pretty much. Like, that's the majority of how I do it. I don't sell super hard. I occasionally will do like a discount or like a promo email, but like, it's pretty rare. Like, I'm not doing it a lot. Like, I did one last week to launch this new service. I've done one at the end of the year for like an end of year discount, but like, most of the time I'm just weaving and talking about my business and just sharing the story. And that tends to work pretty well. So,
in your opinion, how large of an audience do you think you need to have before the leads start coming in, like you're saying?
It's just like this evolution. Like I told you, when I was like, went down to Mexico, I didn't know what I was doing. And I just like was like writing about living in Mexico. And I got our two biggest clients, who are just people from my past network who I probably would have never like directly pitched or like thought to work with, but they just like were nurtured by that stuff. So like, no matter how small you are, like the results differ. Nowadays, like, it's massive. Like, that's how I'm able to, like, how we were able to sign 14 customers like the day we launched, because like I have an email list of 8,000 people now, but you just keep growing that over time. And that's taken me 4 or 5 years to build. So
right,
the results definitely grow over time as you get better at it. And as you get better at putting content out there and building a relationship with your audience and everything as well.
That's awesome. This has been such a fun conversation, Jake. I really appreciate you all the way from France hopping on with me.
No problem.
This is really fun, and I'm glad we got to catch up a little bit. Where can people go to subscribe to your blog or read your or go to your podcast and listen?
Yeah, so for everything with Lead Cookie, any of our services, that's just at leadcookie.com. And then if you want to find my personal blog, my podcast, anything like that, just go to jake-jorgevin.com. Just Google that and try to spell it the best you can. It'll probably autocorrect it.
I'll put it in the show notes. Well, this has been so fun, man. I definitely want to stay in touch. I'm going to definitely put some of this into action as well. Baby steps, right? That's what I've learned from you today. Just don't try to do it all. Just take one step at a time and be okay in the desert. Be okay in the chaos until you can get there. So appreciate it. Anything that you'd want to leave with our listeners before we go?
Yeah, I'd say the biggest thing is just being an entrepreneur does not have to be chaotic. So just get systematic, show up, and just be consistent every day. And that's like, just build systems as opposed to living in chaos, and just sing the singles every day is way more powerful than swinging for home runs.
Awesome. Jake, you're the man. Thank you so much. And we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks a lot, Jeff.
Thank you so much for listening. Did you catch something that you can implement today? I'm going to install the thinking that I don't have to swing for the fences today. Just hit solid singles and be happy with that. I have been Jeff Dolan, and today is Wednesday, February 20th, 2019. The theme song is a custom track by producer and now artist Gavi. I hope you have enjoyed it. If you are new to the show, welcome and thank you for subscribing. If you want to leave us a comment, thought, or shout out, we would love to hear it. Have a good week, be kind, and take care.